Blog
Black
Talk
Power
Radio.
Brothers.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a live killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. If up the black police, that 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit's gonna be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday. I fuck me, promise.
Free the Black Panthers.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us. We would like to begin our program from this evening by opening with prayer. So we can take a position of prayer. I will recite the prayer aloud and ask you to repeat the prayer silently to yourself. Attention prayer.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the accursed of Satan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds.
Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
The Beneficent, the Most Merciful.
Maliki Yawmiddin.
Master of this day of judgment in which we now live.
Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in.
Thee do we serve and thee do we beseech for help.
Ihdina siratal mustaqim.
Guide us on the right path.
Sirata ladina anamta alaihim.
The path of those upon whom thou hast bestowed favor.
Ghayr al-maghdubi alaihim.
Not the path of those upon whom thine wrath is brought down.
Wallatuni.
Know of those who go astray.
Ameen.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings. This is the Your Immunity Project, the Zoom conference call powered by Kalfani Radio. We do this every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you did not make a mistake. You are in the right place. This is where we do the updates on COVID-19, the mandates, and all the rest of it. And tonight, we're going to broaden the scope of what we talk about because there's so much going on in the world, and all of it is interconnected. So stay tuned. You're in the right place. This is the Your Immunity Project. This is where we do it right. Some people call it the hour of truth because it is the truth that shall set you free. Nothing else. Just understanding that you've been lied to is not enough. You have to know the positive truth to establish the kingdom of God and to survive, a global Holocaust that is taking place. So welcome, welcome, welcome one and all to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. Now, we always operate according to five basic principles. We go over those every single time because there's always somebody new that poked their head in the first time. They don't know what this is. They don't know what we're talking about. Somebody told them something about something. And so I want you to understand that we always operate according to five basic principles, and you need to keep these five basic principles in the back and in the front of your mind because they are all important. Now, the most important and the first one is prevention, of course. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and he's right. As a doctor, I know prevention is way better than cure, way better than surgery, way better than all the things that you have to drastically resort to once something has occurred. And so prevention is number one. And then you have to be very clear. What is it that you are trying to prevent? Because there are many weapons that are ranged against the righteous today. It's not just a virus. It's not just the spike protein. It's not just chemtrails. It's not just poison information, misinformation, disinformation. There's many weapons ranged against us, and we need to be aware of all of them. In the military, they call it situational awareness, so that we can be on guard against all of them. Because it only takes one of them to do you in. If the left hand don't get you, maybe the right one will. So prevention is paramount. And so we have to be very clear what the threats are and what we need to do to guard ourselves against those threats. The second principle, of course, is diagnosis. Because once someone becomes ill or has symptoms, they want to know, what's wrong with me? What do I need to do? Will I get better? You know, what's up? You see, so diagnosis is paramount. And the diagnosis guides the third principle, which is treatment. Your treatment can't be any better than your diagnosis. And so this is where we run into a lot of trouble because we see a lot of failed cases where people came down with COVID symptoms or symptoms of other illnesses, and then they got treated, they got vaccinated, but they didn't get better. In fact, as we'll see as we go through the headlines, many people got worse as a result of getting the injection. You see, so diagnosis is key. And without a diagnosis, then treatment is just a guessing game, or it is a game of pure deception. And I think it's the latter rather than the former. So just to be very clear about it, in case you weren't tuned in the past, we've been saying for more than a year and a half that the PCR test was never designed by its inventor to diagnose any illness. So the hundreds of millions of people, probably billions of people, who were diagnosed with COVID-19 with a PCR test, they were sold a bill of goods. Same thing with the rapid antigen test that the government even sends to you, made in China, but they send it to your house in America. Bogus, according to the Paul Ehrlich Institute, a 92% error rate in those rapid antigen tests. And so where is the diagnosis of COVID-19? Where's the diagnosis of monkeypox all of a sudden? None of the tests have been valid. And therefore, all of the treatments have to be called into question. So now, if there really is a virus, we know what to do. That's the third principle, treatment. We know what to do. We give Paxlovid. It works every time on every virus. I don't know if monkeypox is real. People ask me all the time, what's the latest variant? I don't know. I don't care, because whatever it is, this will handle it if it's a virus. If it's a viral-related illness, this will handle it. This is called Paxlovid. Now, somebody sent me an interview I did on ABC 30 years ago, just about 30 years ago, where we were introducing Kemron and Immunex, which were, you know, first generations of what this is. And so this is a dietary supplement. It's not a drug. It's a dietary supplement. And what does it do? It specifically feeds the human immune system. So once you feed the immune cells that make up your immune system, they can handle any virus. They can handle it once you give them what they need, and this is what they need. So this is the best treatment for any viral illness or any virally related illness like many cancers, leukemias, and things like that, multiple myeloma. These are things that are caused by viruses, some heart diseases, lung diseases, even brain diseases, even mental illnesses sometimes are associated with viruses. So we get many amazing, unexpected results when people use the Paxlovid, even though they used it because they thought they had COVID-19. So now the fourth principle after treatment, of course, is the research. Research. You must do research to discover new knowledge because there are problems out there that you do not have the answer to yet. And then, of course, there's disinformation, misinformation that's out there that has to be cleared up. Otherwise, the people will be confused. So we do our own research at the Your Immunity Project. You can volunteer to be a part of it. We're closing out the first, trying to get the first phase of our clinical trial completed and published, and then begin a second phase. And some of you are already signed up. You can go to yourimmunityproject.org, and you can leave your name there to enroll in the second phase of the Your Immunity Project clinical trial. Also, and we should probably, I think, hear from our research team on this call later. They'll tell us about the COVID-19 passport that'll come up on your phone so that you won't have any travel hassles as you go about your business. So the fourth principle is research, and we do our own. And then we also report out the research that's relevant that other people have done elsewhere. And that's what the fifth principle is all about. That's education. That's education. That's what's taking place right now. We're on the fifth principle right now. This is all about education, information. Information is power, they say. Well, according to physics, power is the ability to do work. So what is the work that the Your Immunity Project is all about? Well, the name gives it away, doesn't it? The project is to ensure your immunity so that you can survive. Look at it this way. A friend of mine put it this way. He said, your immunity is your right to life guaranteed. Yeah, think about that. Your immunity, your immune system, your immune competence is your God-given right to life guaranteed. There's going to be opposition to your life, to your survival. It wouldn't be real. We wouldn't be in a real world if there wasn't opposition, enemies, to your life, to your survival. But the God who gave us life equipped us with the ability to resist that interference. And by the way, the name of the medication, Paxlovid, it contains something that sounds like interference. It's called interferon. And then interferons, it interferes with viruses that are trying to do harm in the body. So we do our own research, and then we report that research out on the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. Now, we're powered on Cal Farmy Radio, and we had to do that. We had to get our own space, a space that we could call our own in cyberspace, because some of the topics that we deal with are considered to be controversial because it's counter to the official narrative. And the official narrative always seems to lead people in the wrong direction and into confusion. And so we have a whole lot of straightening out to do. And sometimes that gets you kicked off Twitter. They kick me off Twitter. They kick me out of Instagram. Sometimes they give us problems on Facebook, you know, because they're trying to censor the truth. You have freedom of speech, but you have to fight to exercise it. And so we set up CalFarmyRadio.org as an independent free speech platform where we can tell the truth. So we're on the Zoom conference call, we're on Facebook, but we predominantly prefer people to migrate to CalFarmy Radio because all of the other ones are likely to be attacked. And who knows, one of these days we may disappear from Facebook, just like I disappeared from Twitter, I disappeared from Instagram. I published the 20 mechanisms of injury of the spike protein, and I was gone within 5 seconds. Oh, they move fast in the metaverse when they want to. So I am no longer a resident of the metaverse, but you can find me on Telegram. I have a Telegram group, and you can join that group. I think you have to request to join. I'm not sure how all these things work. Dr. Arlene on Telegram, and then you can keep up to date. Many of the headlines that we go over on the call, I publish the full articles on Telegram, on my Telegram group, Dr. Arlene. Also, the Paxton Union is available from my website, draline.com, and you can buy it by the single bottle or by the case. Welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call, powered by Cal Fani Radio. Tomorrow night on Cal Fani Radio, we're going to be doing the 19th element. Some of the headlines that we just touch on lightly during the Your Immunity Project call, we go in depth on the 19th element. And there's a whole lot to go into. So tonight and tomorrow night are going to be power-packed informational events. So tune in tonight. You're already here. Invite some more people to join in before we close. And we'll see you tomorrow night on the 19th element at 9 p.m. Cal Fani Radio. Hey, and guess what? On Sunday, Five's Your Prayer Line. That's 7 a.m. That's when I come. They bring me on. They'll be on before then. But Five's Your Prayer Line this Sunday, the 19th of June, 7 a.m. So, Sister Najma, who do we have on the line? Let's move to our reports. And I may have to step away because it's my mother's dinner time, and I may have to step away. So if you see me step away, that's all. I'm just taking care of my mom.
Yes, sir. We have Brother Reuben and Brother Dawood.
Let's hear from Brother Reuben first because he's so far away. I think he's 15 time zones away from us. He's already into Wednesday, and he's down there in Australia. And I'm getting some strange reports out of Australia. What's happening down there, Brother Reuben?
Well, assalamu alaikum and greetings to all of the listeners today. How are you?
Fine.
And all praise is due to Allah. Well, here in Australia, it's much the same. We're in a very cold winter, and in the mix of all of that, people are getting sick. Healthy adults in the 30s to, well, mid-20s all the way to 40s, those who were working back at work and working hard every day, many famous ones are literally dropping dead, and they're trying to figure out why that is. And we have a good idea what's happening because most of them already have three jabs, and they're pushing for a fourth jab here in Australia. Just 2 days ago, on Monday, was the deadline. It's Wednesday here in Australia, but on Monday was a deadline for health workers. Those who had not had their third shot, they were basically going to be made redundant. They were going to lose their jobs. So it was a big thing within the health industry. On a state level, what they did with the government-owned hospitals, so not the private hospitals, but the government-owned hospitals, they decided to finally thank and honor the nurses and the doctors who had worked hard through the pandemic and all of those other things. Those who were still working, that is, not those who got sacked, but those who were still working, they got a $3,000 bonus. And naturally, all the other healthcare workers said, wait a minute, what about me? I work for the private health industry, but when it was an emergency, we all had to, you know, we got moved around. They had no choice. It doesn't matter. You work for this clinic. You were able to be drafted straight into the government hospitals because they needed all hands on deck, as they said. So many of those who are thousands upon thousands said, hey, we're missing out on the bonus because we don't work for the government, but we did our part. We worked 20 hours a day with suffering and all kinds of things, and we've taken three jabs. We're still working. We're going to get a fourth one now. And they were told, go talk to your private boss. We're not going to pay you $3,000. So that was a huge blow to many healthcare workers. And many who are now saying, well, what am I doing all of this for? Many of them as well. We are still in a code. It keeps changing every 2 days from a code red to a code brown in the hospitals. Basically, the hospital, there's too many sick people in there. They've stopped giving the counts. You've got to go on Twitter. So anyone can go on Twitter and look at the health department information here in Australia. But they did stop giving the midday or early afternoon brief on television because the news basically is like this. We're 96-97% triple jabs now. The children are up to almost 50%. This is the 5 to 12-year-olds and the 12 all the way up to the elderly. They're, you know, 96-97% jabbed. However, they're all in hospital. They're sick. This week alone, while we're in a code red in the hospitals and you have to line up outside in the rain for any emergency, they're full, is simply because we're missing 2,000 health workers. They removed the thing where they had where if someone got sick and you were in a close contact, you were allowed to stay home for a week. They took all that away months ago. So only if you were sick, you were allowed to stay home. It doesn't matter who else you were around. Well, 2,000 nurses and medical practitioners are not available this week. Every single day, they're missing simply because they're too sick to come to work. So many who are now have to go for the fourth jab are asking the question, and they're coming on television, voicing their opinions now because the elections are over and they've got to talk about something else now. And they're asking the question, I've taken three jabs. I've been sick two, three, four, multiple times, some of them. They're telling me to take a fourth one. What for? Because they're all getting sick. So the news is not getting any better here. We have we're in very cold winter. We're getting what they call the Arctic blast. We're close to Antarctica, but I don't know why they call it the Arctic blast anyway. That's on the North Pole. But anyway, that's where we are now. You mentioned something very key, Dr. Aleem, about how everything is all connected. Here in Australia, because of not having enough people to pick fruits and all of those other things and vegetables, we saw that the rise in meat, beef and chicken and other meats and fish, all the way around Christmas time, the prices started to go up. Well, now the vegetable prices have gone up. We're talking about things such as simple things. If you want a salad, you want an iceberg lettuce, they're around the $10-$11 if you can get one. Yeah, oh, each. That's just one. Yes.
That's not a whole case. That's just one.
That's just one. Yes, sir. So anyway, and you can go on Twitter or go on, you know, on any of the social media. People are just amazed at how high the prices have gone. If you're talking garlic, if you want fresh garlic, not the one in a jar, it's my local place here is $50 a kilo. So that's $25 a pound. It's ridiculous, you know. So you're going to have to get the one in a jar and, you know, hope it's a good one and all of those things. The packaging in food, whether it's bread and say even simple things that you want to buy a chocolate bar, they're usually in a 250-gram, because we're metric here in Australia. Packet. So what they've done, instead of increasing the prices, they've dropped the size of the what you're buying. So now you're down to about 20-30% less. So 170 grams is your standard bar of chocolate now. So, you know, so that way you don't feel the pinch. You know, $6, but, you know, I'm still paying $6, but I'm getting 30% less. And the reality is this, that we all have to get ready for. And if we had not been paying attention for the last 12 or 18 months, is that the key driver of this, I know they want to try and blame Putin and everything else and, you know, the war and all of that, but the key driver is really something very simple that anyone can look up. The U.S. government tried to print its way out of this whole pandemic and everything else. And the reality, and anyone can check this is not any secret information. You can go online and Google your Treasury Department and see. Basically, about 40% of all U.S. dollars and currency has been printed just in the last 12 or 14 months. So think of it this way. Your stimulus money, you didn't drop out of heaven. Somebody went and put a few zeros in a computer and sent it to you. All of this money. So America is almost, I forget the exact number. It's over 200 years old, probably 255, if my math is correct.
Yes.
Just the last year. Yeah, just the last year is when they've printed all of this money. Well, that money came out of thin air. It's not backed by anything. So naturally, the true inflation is not what they're telling you. And if you look at the inflation numbers, anyone can go to the Bureau of Statistics website and see that what they're conveniently doing is ignoring the reality of food prices, energy. So if you use electricity, if you use gasoline and other things, these are being omitted from the actual calculations. They have a sneaky way of, or technology as we know it, of calculating things. So when things are looking too bad, they say, well, don't count this, don't count energy, don't count food, and the numbers are 7 or 8% inflation. Well, the true number is really around 30%, and the simple equation is just that all the money got printed and they didn't do anything new, they didn't manufacture anything new, so naturally prices of things are going to go up because the dollar is worth less. And they did make every nation on earth trade with a US dollar for international trading. So everything that comes from China or wherever you buy it in this world, that is the reserve currency, the US dollar. So until that begins to change, and some countries are trying to change that, like Russia and India and China and others, until that changes, we will continue to see the value of the dollar drop and prices and things go up. And here in Australia, of course, they're all saying, can we get some more money in our paycheck? But of course, the employers are saying, hell no, because we've got more money to give you. So that's where we are here in Australia. We expect things to get even worse because we've had some really bad weather. I haven't even looked at where it's flooded yesterday or the day before. We're having some other strange incidents with low-flying aircraft. And I think you mentioned something about this. I haven't been able to get an actual visual confirmation myself, but they seem to be spraying things up in the sky. And here in where I am, it happens in the middle of the night. You hear helicopters and low-flying planes. So I intend to go out one of these days at 2 or 3 in the morning when they come flying over my house to put my torch up and see what's going on, because we do have the restrictions on flying here in Australia, and generally by midnight all the planes have stopped coming in, and all of a sudden the last week or two there's planes every single day flying overhead. So perhaps as part of their spraying program, we don't know. That's what some people are saying, but I haven't been able to confirm that myself. So I'll see if I can get an actual confirmation on what kind of spraying they're doing over our heads here in Australia, because things are getting worse health-wise and no one seems to really have any idea why, because it's not just the so-called vaccine. We think there's a few other things going on above our heads right now. So thank you, Dr. Lehman. I'll be available for any questions. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, well, we always like to hear from Brother Ruben down there in Australia. Not only are they in a different time zone, but they're in a different season. So down where he is, they're going into winter. And so you can get a look ahead. We're just going into our summer, having a heat wave here. They're having a cold wave there. And you can see an increase in the death rate as they go into their winter. Loss of healthcare workers, loss of healthcare services, in other words, and a population that's over 90% vaccinated and young people dying like flies. Spraying at night. We reported on the Your Immunity Project way back when that the Chinese reported that in December of 2019, there were unknown foreign drones spraying some unknown substance over their farmland, especially their pig farms. And would you know it, right after that, there was a major outbreak of swine flu that decimated the Chinese swine herd. And of course, pork is probably the number one protein source for people living in China. Then of course, the avian bird flu struck after that in China, again associated with mysterious drones flying over farmland. The same thing was reported in Colorado about a year and a half ago. Mysterious unknown drones flying over Colorado, New Mexico, out there in the Four Corners area of the American West. And then wouldn't you know it, soon after that, then you had outbreaks of avian bird flu and the meatpacking plants were shut down, and people suspected that the livestock was actually inoculated with the very same mRNA technology that's in the so-called vaccine shot. And many people who haven't been vaccinated, but yet they consume fast food and, you know, meat from these processing plants, they report symptoms that are very similar to the symptoms that are associated with the injection. So we always like to hear from Australia, because that gives us a look ahead. And to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Now, we're going to, one of the headlines, I'll just jump ahead a little bit here. One of the headlines from Spain is the Spanish government admits that they are spraying, let me read this. The Spanish government admits to spraying chemtrails on citizens at the behest of the United Nations as a part of some kind of COVID-19 effort. So maybe you can look and see what they're doing in Spain, because probably what they're doing in Australia is the same thing that they're doing in Spain. And it's the same thing that when you look over your head in America or in Europe, you see the same spraying campaign. And I want to know, with these sky-high fuel prices, who's paying for the fuel to keep these planes in the sky? You see, that's a lot of money being expended. And not to mention, what are the contents of these so-called chemtrails? And then final thing, Brother Ruben pointed out that the economic statistics that the governments like to report are skewed. They're not true statistics. Now, there's a website that I heard about. I'm not really all that familiar with it, but it's called Shadow Stats, shadowstats.com, I think, Shadow Stats. And this is independent researchers that do independent research to give you the true inflation rates and other economic indicators. So Shadow Stats might be a source of good information. So thank you, Brother Ruben. So if we can hear from our research team, Brother Dawood is on the line, and we'd like to hear from him.
Yes, sir. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. I'm so glad to hear from you, and also the report coming in from Brother Ruben. So a few things with the Your Immunity Project. There are a few things that we've made as far as changes to move forward with the clinical trial pass. That's the portion that we're finishing and finalizing at this point. And really, the pass is complete. We'll showcase it a little bit here today. I will let you know that we went through and rebuilt the entire YourImmunityProject.org website, and that had to be done because we had to change or add an approval process into the protocol, so that when an individual visits YourImmunityProject.org to sign up, they go through the normal set of steps to approve the consent to participate, but we had to add three or four more steps to allow the individual fields to enter the type of ID they may associate with their clinical trial pass, whether it's a passport, driver's license, or social security number, so that it also appears on the clinical trial pass. So those fields were added in, but also we had to add on a layer so that the admin would get the message that that's been completed and then could make the decision if it's done properly for approval or rejection. And once approved, then they would receive the email that confirms all the steps they took, as well as displays the clinical trial pass with their name, the portion of the ID number that would be displayed that they could start to utilize. So in the sake of time, we did go ahead through the admin's approval and with the confirmation of consent form and documents, and we completed a group of the clinical trial passes that met all the criteria for some urgent travel that needed to take place here soon. So those are done. Okay. So Sister Najma, if I can do a screen share, I'll show an example of what the finished clinical trial pass looks like that everyone else will be able to utilize as soon as we officially turn the site on, which I hope we could do that this week. Dr. Nadia suggests that we take a little time this week when you have some availability, Dr. Aline, so we can tweak a letter that should be included.
We can do that anytime this week. I have plenty of time this week.
Okay, yes, sir. Perfect. Okay, I'll screen share quickly from the phone here. Okay, so you should be able to see my screen.
Yeah.
Can you see?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what the clinical trial pass looks like. International Certificate of Clinical Trial has a similar look to some of the other COVID-19 passports. The important section, of course, is here. It shows that that your participation is active in the trial when it's issued. We give it a 2-year expiry date. There's a randomly generated alphanumeric code for each participant. And then, of course, your name and whatever information you put in for the type of...
Oh, somebody hit the mute button.
Sorry, a phone call was coming in. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. And then in the center is the QR code, and the QR code is unique because once this is scanned, it hyperlinks to the letter that we posted that right now contains the general information describing what this clinical trial is for, that it's physician-led, et cetera, and that you're an active participant. At the bottom of that letter, it also displays the information you see here. So now the letter associates back to the individual that's showing their ID and showing the clinical trial pass. Yes, so that should really... Yeah, tie up everything that's needed requirement-wise. And, you know, if there's any real checkpoints that anyone will encounter, we should be good to go. No telling what's forthcoming now that monkeypox and hepatitis and everything else other than COVID is seeming to pop back up. So I'll stop there, brother. That's about it, and we can finish this up and turn it on so everyone can start to utilize.
Okay. Beautiful. Yeah, that's
thank
spectacular.
You, thank you.
See, that's so powerful because it liberates people, you know. Different states will have different mandates, different rules. Different countries will have different rules, you see, but this will get you through wherever you are, you know, so... That's a very, very great, tremendous help to many, many people because people have literally been tied down for the last 2 years, unable to really get around. And this will help, even though there may be other considerations to keep in mind. So thank you very much, Brother Dawood. And we will meet later this week, inshallah, and fine-tune everything so it's ready to go.
Okay, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. So, Sister Najma, can you bring up our headlines? Or do we have anybody else calling in from overseas? We always like to make sure. Okay. So let's begin with our headlines, and then we'll try to reserve as much time at the end for questions or testimonials as we can. Okay, someone's asking a question about chemtrails. When you see them as streaks in the sky, they're obvious. And you shouldn't be out under that. Now, those streaks coalesce to form a cloud layer. And that's a toxic cloud layer. And depending on the wind and other weather conditions, that could linger for quite some time. And you'll get kind of, in other words, a normal sky as created by God is blue. But when you go outside and you see a hazy white sky, you're looking at chemtrails. You're looking at a toxic cloud layer. And the contents of chemtrails, it can be any formula that they decide to use in any particular area. And that can range from heavy metals like barium and aluminum and mercury that's been reported for years and years and years, and even organic materials such as fungal spores, viruses, even red blood cells, soybean oil, all kinds of things have been detected in chemtrails over the years. So exactly what's in the chemtrail over your head, where you are on any given day, hey, you would have to ask the people who are in the who are flying the planes, what did they load into your tank today? And some of the pilots that fly these planes, they have come forth. And they are isolated. Their whole families are isolated. They're forbidden to speak. They're under a gag order. And many of them have mental issues because they know that they're doing something very evil and they have a guilty conscience. And there's a very high suicide rate among these chemtrail pilots and their families. And the only reason why they do it is because, you know, most of them are poorly paid military pilots and they get an extra bonus if they fly the chemtrails. And so they volunteer to do it and they're in a special unit isolated from the other families of other pilots. And it's very, very hard on their mental status because they know that what they're doing is against everything. So we're looking at a depiction of what happens when people inhale what's in a chemtrail. And in this case, you see an image of a virus and the spike protein. And of course, that goes into the nasal cavity, into the mouth, into the lungs. And of course, isn't that where all of the symptoms begin? And so I notice more and more people coughing, having trouble with breathing. And a lot of it could be due to the increased spraying of chemtrails. And as I mentioned earlier, the Spanish government has openly admitted that they are under orders from the United Nations to do this. So maybe we should ask the United Nations, the World Health Organization, why are you spraying the human population of planet Earth? So the next image, please. Can you blow that up? Yeah, that's Swedish scientists find new rodent coronavirus strain, potential to migrate to humans. Again, you can find the complete article on my Telegram group. But again, you see they're constantly involved in this kind of research. Now, Sweden and Finland, to show you how everything is all tied together, they have applied for membership in NATO. And as we can see, they're one of the things that NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, has been involved in for many years is bioweapons research in Europe, especially in Ukraine. See, so I wouldn't be surprised if, because they're reporting that they found a new rodent corona strain, who would be surprised if the next variant comes from what they found? Next image, please. Now, you can blow this up. This is just a microscopic image of what people are calling blood clots. People who get the injection, people who inhale the spike protein, they're inhaling a prion. The spike protein, which is in the injection, the spike protein, which was riding on the back of both HIV and COVID-19, the spike protein is what makes everybody sick. And one of the reasons it makes people sick is because it's a prion, which causes amyloid fibers. Now, these amyloid fibers look like blood clots, and blood does clot around the amyloid fibers. And so it does cause blood clotting, but the root cause of the blood clotting that causes all of the pathology from the vaccine shot, causing all of the excess deaths, it's because the spike protein itself is a prion. And what is a prion? A prion is an infectious protein. So this is just a microscopic picture If you had a high-powered microscope looking at what they're calling these blood clots that are killing people, this is what it would look like. Now, these amyloid deposits are also very similar to what is seen under the microscope with people who are suffering from dementia, like Alzheimer's disease. You also see these so-called amyloid plaques. Next image, please. Now, this is a model, a computer model of the spike protein. And you see the different regions of it, different colors. And this is just one looking at one side of it. But just to show you that it's made up of 19 different peptides. And those individual peptides that make it up are the same peptides that are found in snake venom. And this was the theory that was put forward by Dr. Artis, who showed that there are 7 of these peptides are patented and are a part of what makes up remdesivir. So the spike protein is a prion, an infectious protein that contains peptides that are synthetic versions of snake venom. So this is actually the enemy. Next image. Now these are the chemtrails. We've already talked about them. So obviously when you see it like this, you don't go outside. But these distinct trails are going to coalesce into a cloud layer, which is highly toxic. So unless the wind just blows it away and clears the sky so it's clear blue, you might still be in danger hours later. Now also keep in mind that when some of you who are activists, you announce you're going to have a rally in such and such a place and such a time, hey, they are there with the chemtrails right over your head.
Whoa.
See, to make sure that you get vaccinated whether you want to or not. So always keep your head up. There's a lot of reasons to do that. Next image, please. Now, we're going to be dealing with a lot of things. Your immunity is your right to life guaranteed. Well, one of the necessities of life, one of the necessities of strong immunity, of course, is food. People who don't have food, who are starving, who are poorly nourished, will automatically have a poor immune system. So what's going on in America where 95 food plants have been blown up in the last month or so by fires that burn the food processing plants down to the ground? The fires can't be put out. So what is this? So, well, I think it's obvious that this is sabotage. This is war. Some enemy is destroying the food supply to the people in America. So 95 food plants are destroyed so far, and the mass media, for the most part, isn't reporting it. So now, which food plant supplied the food to where you live that got burned down? And how many more are going to burn down before somebody pays attention to the fact that there's no more food? So I'm going to step away for a minute. My mom needs her coffee. And so maybe, Sister Najma, maybe you can read the announcements. I'll be right back.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. All right. So for those who I put the call-in information for the Pfizer prayer line for the 19th. And this coming Sunday, Dr. Aleem is going to be speaking. He's going to come on around 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but the call starts at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, prayer is given. And on the days that Dr. Aleem speaks, sometimes it's Mother Tynetta that's being played before he comes on, or other lectures, mostly Mother Tynetta. On the regular weekday, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is being played, and prayer starts at 5 o'clock, and then after that there is a lecture that's played by the minister, and inshallah Mother Tynetta will be playing before Dr. Lee comes on at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to order Pax Immune, you can go to www.draleem.com Doctor is spelled out DOCTORALIM. If you have any questions in reference to orders, you can go to mail@DrAleem.com. And of course, doctor is spelled out again. I will also post the link for the Telegram. So if you want to join Telegram, you can go ahead and download the app for Telegram. After you download the app, then you can click on the link and ask to join the group. And then Dr. Aleem will allow you to come into the group, and you'll be able to see all of the different articles that he posts weekly. Praise be to Allah.
Okay, so I'm back. Just trying to do two things at once. So yeah, food is the issue going forward. And you need to think about this. If the farmers are not planting, and they're not because they don't have fuel or they can't afford it, they can't get fertilizer. So the estimates are the planting will only be 1/3 of normal for 2022. So at best, the harvest is only going to be 1/3 of normal. But of course, without fertilizer and other necessities, maybe the harvest won't be all that good. So the forecast is for famine. And then even if there was a harvest, if the food processing plants have been destroyed, you see, and are being destroyed as we speak, you see, well, then where are you going to get your food from? See, that's the issue going forward. So this is not just about Paxlovid and viruses and spike proteins. The issue is, where are you going to get your food from, say, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 18 months from now? Where is your food coming from? I would just say this as a caution to everyone. Probably this summer, where we are right now, this might be the last chance you have to actually grow some of your own food. You probably will not get another chance to do it. So take your best shot at it right now. Because in other words, we should be tired of saying that we need to start producing our own food. No, you're past the need to do it. Your back is actually up against the wall. Starvation is staring you in the face. Starvation is about 6 months away for the majority of people in America. They will just not have any food available to them. And so you can do something about that right now. But 6 months from now, you won't be able to do anything about it. So a word to the wise. Next image, please. Yeah, this is Bill Gates. And of course, last year, you remember Bill Gates, he predicted smallpox. He said it was smallpox. And so he invested in a smallpox vaccine because he predicted that in 2022, the world would be shaken by an outbreak of smallpox. And wouldn't you know it, down to the day that it was predicted, there was an outbreak of monkeypox, which is actually just a version of smallpox. And so, in fact, they say that the vaccine for smallpox is the same one that you use for monkeypox. And guess who is the greatest investor in the monkeypox vaccine that has already been sold millions of doses to the U.S. government on schedule? Well, the infamous Bill Gates. I guess he represents the gates of hell. Next image, please. See, so people call it the monkeypox, but it's really the moneypox. It's the new gay men's disease. This is the same old scenario that they ran 30 years ago, where HIV was supposed to be the gay men's disease. Now it turns out that the 500 or so cases that exist throughout the world have all occurred in men, and all of the men are gay. And all of them attended a gay bash on the Canary Islands, of all places. And now they come down with monkeypox. But some people say that that's all just a cover story to cover up the side effects of what happens to people when they get the vaccine. Next image. Now, here's what we were talking about before. Now, the full article that this is based on is on my telegram, in my telegram group, airborne prion diseases. Remember, the spike protein is a prion. And people who have received the injections are manufacturing the spike protein, which is a prion. And now it turns out that prions are airborne. See, this was questionable. The Pfizer document showed that the spike protein was self-spreading through skin contact and the exchange of body fluids and through inhalation. But that was hard to believe because how could you inhale a prion? And now the scientific research has been done to show, surprisingly, that prions are best spread by the airborne route. And in the experiment, you can read the details yourself on the Telegram group, but basically the summary shows that when they sprayed mice with prions, except at the very lowest dose, it was 100% lethal, 100% lethal. All of the mice died. And what they found out was that it only took one spray. One spray was enough to kill all of the mice. In other words, one spray into the cage where the mice were, one time. And within, I believe, the time frame was 200 days, every last mouse was dead. And so you can extrapolate to humans that if chemtrails contain prions, and you inhale them, and they are poisonous. You see, then you have just literally been killed. So these research studies are coming out now. See, we've alleged these things in the past. You've heard me say that. You've heard me say that. Don't be around people who got the injection because their cough, their sneeze could infect you, can contaminate you with the spike protein. And now here's the scientific proof. And it was shocking because the scientists, they thought that, well, there may be a low-level transmission rate, but what they found out, it was 100%. So word to the wise. Next image, please. So yeah, so this is the new moneymaker. How many billionaires were created with the COVID-19 vaccine? Okay, so now there's another line of billionaires, another line of people standing in line to become billionaires with the monkeypox vaccine, which is a smallpox vaccine. Now keep in mind, it was a contaminated smallpox vaccine that caused the HIV epidemic in Africa. And this was admitted in 1987 by the World Health Organization. It was published on the front page of the London Sunday Times. Yeah, you heard me right. The World Health Organization admitted that they administered 300,000 contaminated smallpox vaccines in Central Africa, and that was the cause of the AIDS epidemic in Africa. Now, these same people want to administer a smallpox vaccine to you for something called monkeypox. Well, in reality, it's moneypox. There's some more billionaires to be made. Next image, please. And they won't blame it on a monkey. Now, here's Lloyd Austin. He's the Secretary of Defense. So now he testified, and he admitted that there are 46 U.S. military biolabs in Ukraine. 46. Now, when the Russians invaded Ukraine, they said they found 30. Now, he's admitting, no, we got 46. You only found 30, but we got 46. That's what he's saying. We got 46. You found 30. So now where's the other 16? You see, and what kind of bugs do they have in them? So now this is important for everybody to understand that the United States has 46 bioweapons laboratories in the Ukraine. What did they have them there for? What do you need bioweapons labs for since they're highly illegal? I mean, he's admitting to committing crimes against humanity. 46 bioweapons labs. You see, and now the Chinese said that they made a report to the United Nations. They said, no, the United States has 336 bioweapons labs around the world. Well, now, Joe Biden says that you don't need an assault rifle. Well, what do they need with 336 bioweapons labs around the world? What are their intentions? And they have Lloyd Austin trying to explain that. That is hard to explain, but I'm sure he's up to it. Next image. He's he was on the board of Raytheon, the big defense contractor. So that's what he's over there in Europe doing. He's over there selling weapons. He's a weapons salesman. That's why you need a war, a good war, to use up a lot of weapons, so you need to buy some more. Next image. Now, I'm not going to – is this the biggest you can make it? Because I can't actually read it. But anyhow, I'm not going to – these are all going to be posted. These are posted already. These are posted already on the Telegram. But move it to the left, because all I really want to show you here is to the other side, and drop it down so I can read the title. The other way. No, drop it down so I can read the title on top. There's three different. The actual graphs are on Telegram, as I said. But basically, you're going to see three or four different graphs like this. And you see the spike all the way on the right-hand side. That's indicating the deaths that occur, that have occurred once the vaccine campaign got started. And the deaths are from different, looking at it from different angles. But you can see that in the past, you know, there was a certain death rate that was bouncing along on the bottom. Then all of a sudden it started to increase. And then those huge spikes that corresponds to the vaccination campaigns. So next image, which will be a little, it'll be similar. Okay, you can't really read that, but this is something that we've discussed concerning with chemtrails. Those blurry names up there, cryptosporosis, candidiasis, coccidiomycosis, cryptomycosis, these are funguses. These are fungi. And so we talked about this, that they spray the fungal spores in the atmosphere. And then you can see at the end, again, a spike in these lung infections caused by these fungal spores that are found in chemtrails. And these infections are very hard to treat in healthy people. If they're a healthy person like me, I got this last year under chemtrails, and I was able to treat myself and recover. But now, what about a person who got the injection, who has vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency? They breathe this in, hey, this is a death sentence. So these are the fungal deaths that are taking place. Next image. Now this is a little confusing here, but again, we're looking at death rates from different causes in different populations of people. Now in the middle, you see a green line, and that's kind of like, that's the normal death rate in a population of unvaccinated people. And then you see these other colors, high above the green line or spiking high above the green line. And that's the people who got either one, two, three, or four different shots. It depends on what combination of shots they got. You see, but they all had a higher death rate immediately after the injection than the normal population. So the takeaway point, vaccinated people, and we're using that term vaccination loosely, because it's not really a vaccine. The vaccines don't kill people. But essentially, the takeaway point is this. The people who got the shot have a much higher death rate than unvaccinated people from all causes. Next image. So the best way to protect your life is to avoid vaccination. And I wish we could find a way to blow these slides up so you can read them better. But this study shows that the vaccine has caused children to suffer vaccine-associated enhanced disease. And they have all kinds of illnesses. I think we showed a study last week showing brain damage in children associated with the shot. So again, why is the White House pushing vaccination of children ages 5 to 12? Well, it's because they want to cause these vaccine injuries. You would have to know that they know what we're talking about here. And they're doing it anyhow because that's what their intention is, to kill your children. I mean, keep in mind, anybody who kills unborn children, they don't mind killing born children. I don't care how old they are. Go ask Justin Bieber. Next image. Okay, so now this is showing you the monkeypox outbreak. And you see it's confined mostly to North America, Europe, Australia, and I think that's Argentina in South America. Okay, so these are where all the gay men came from to go to the party in the Canary Islands. And now they have this so-called monkeypox. Now, there's a relationship between the monkeypox and the vaccination campaigns. So let's look at the next image, please. I think it should be the next one. Yes. So you can see that the monkeypox, which is shown on top in blue, the monkeypox distribution in blue corresponds with the Pfizer vaccine in red. So what people are suspecting is that one of the side effects, at least of the Pfizer vaccine, is monkeypox. That there may not actually be a true monkeypox outbreak. This might just be a breakthrough of viral illnesses that the person had in the past that their immune system was suppressing. But because of the weakening of the immune system, now you have an outbreak of these immune suppressive rashes. And they're just calling it monkeypox, kind of like as a joke. Next image. And here's another one of the, again, the mortality rate. I can't really read it myself. It's out of image, but I think it's, herpes. Yeah, so this is showing you the reported cases. I think somebody needs to mute their phone. So again, move it to the left, please.
But I was much happier.
Get off my man. I don't want him to be.
I'm mute, Dr. Aline.
He's not here anymore. Once we get in a better form,
okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so move it to the left.
Are you on your iPad? Dr. Aline? Okay, you may be muted again. Okay.
Okay.
There you go. Are you on your iPad?
No, it's my phone.
Oh, okay, because you can make yours bigger. That's why you probably can't see it because you're on the phone. Just take it and drag it and open it up because it's really big on the screen. So just make it.
Okay. So this is just showing you what the other graphs showed. Only this is looking at the number of herpes cases, herpes outbreaks related to the vaccination campaign. So anybody that has, and that would be about 75% of people, they have some form of herpes virus in their body. It's the most common infection that there is, probably. And so after you get the injection, then that herpes manifests itself in some form, depending on what type of herpes you have. So again, it just shows the breakdown of the human immune system as a result of the vaccination campaign. So next image, please. And this is similar. These are the herpes, shingles, and multiple organ dysfunction syndromes related to vaccination compared to normal. So you see everything is skyrocketing, thousands of percent higher than it's ever been. These are just unknown types of disease outbreaks. And that's why the hospitals are jam-packed. These are the people that got poisoned with the injection, and they're suffering from all of these things all at once. Next image. And, well, again, this is looking at shingles, which is just chicken pox. Anybody had chicken pox, once they get the injection, now you're going to get, you have a high percentage chance of getting what they call shingles. Well, that's the same thing. Next image, please. Now the government reports that COVID vaccination can cause acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And this is why we're seeing a sudden death syndrome, sudden adult death syndrome, they call it, and monkeypox. So this is the government itself saying that the vaccine that we made you take, remember the vaccine that we mandated that you had to take? Oh, it's giving you AIDS now. You see, the government is now laughing in your face. Next image. Now, this headline, remember when adrenochrome was a conspiracy theory? Now it's a conspiracy fact in the form of youth transplants. So basically, the full article is on my Telegram group. There's companies that are making billions of dollars selling youth serum taken from teenagers and selling it for as much as $8,000 of, I forget what the amount, for a pack of probably about 500 cc's, for $8,000 to millionaires to keep them young. So they're harvesting blood. They're harvesting tissues and organs from young people. Now, these companies, one of them was put out of business for obviously possibly criminal activity. I mean, they wanted to know, where are you getting this tissue from young people that you're selling to rich people to keep them young? And so that's where the track got a little bit murky. But it makes you wonder about all the young people coming across the southern border. See, are they being harvested? What happens to them once they cross the Rio Grande River? What happens to them? They seem to disappear into, a bottomless pit. So maybe they're being harvested for their blood and for their organs to keep these old people that somehow keep going, keeping them young. Look at the Queen of England. So you can read the whole article for yourself. It's there. Next image, please. let me see here. This is just what was published, I believe, on the CDC website. These are the symptoms of monkeypox: fever, headache, muscle aches, backache, swollen lymph nodes, chills, exhaustion. And these are what the rashes look like. Although I pointed out, and other people have pointed out, that these rashes look just like the kinds of rashes we used to see in AIDS patients. And so since everybody got the shot and they have vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency, maybe what we're just looking at are the same manifestations of AIDS that we used to see 30 years ago. Everybody has AIDS. They got the shot. Maybe that's what we're looking at. I think that is what we're looking at. Because natural monkeypox hardly infects people. So this must be something else. Next image. And so I think this might be the last image. This is just a cell tower emitting radiation to your cell phone. to your iPad, to your computer, to other devices. And now it comes to light that this radiation may actually be harmful and should be avoided. And so we're going to highlight some of the connections between radiation of this type and radiations of other types and how it may actually impact your health, especially in the environment of COVID-19 and the vaccine campaign and all the rest of it. Was that the last one? I think it was.
Yes, sir, that was the last one.
Okay. All right. So I think we can open up for our phone line for questions or testimonies. There's a few other headlines. I'm just while you're setting that up. The Teamsters Union is about ready to go on strike, you know, because they deliver all of the food. Those are the truck drivers. But they're saying they can't make a living. The wages aren't good enough. The fuel costs of diesel. You think gasoline is high, diesel's even higher. So the Teamsters Union are threatening to go on strike. Talk about supply chain disruptions. Then, of course, the epidemic of this sudden adult death syndrome, young people, millennials. The death rate has increased. Remember, I reported weeks ago the death rate among millennials had increased 84%. Now it's up 94%. You see, so those are the people, the working age group, 25 to 55. These were the people that were told it's the jab or your job. Now it's your life. And so they're dying in the sleep. And they're dying from, I showed you the picture of those amyloid fibers. So if that's in your heart, that's a heart attack. And it looks like a blood clot, but technically it's not. So do we have anybody on the line?
Those on the Zoom platform, please raise your hand. If you have a question or a testimony, if you're on the Facebook Live, please put your question in the chat.
Here's an interesting article. The U.S. wants to pick a war with China, but most of the ammunition is made in China. You can't make this stuff up.
Yes, sir. No one in the Zoom so far with a question. I'm taking the Facebook. Sister Kai, I'm not sure where you are, so let me check the Facebook Live. All right, we have Brother Craig. No one in the Zoom so far with a question.
Okay.
Salaam alaikum, Dr. Link.
Alaykum salam. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Yourself?
I'm fine. Thanks so much.
I just had a quick question, Dr. Lane. Somebody asked me a question. I was kind of stuck on answering the question, but a friend of mine, she asked me a question. If somebody has been vaccinated working around animals that people eat, like cows or chickens or fish, can they spread the contaminants from the COVID vaccine onto the animals? I'm not sure if that was ever asked before, but...
The answer is definitely yes, and it can go back and forth. I mean, like the spike protein is what gets passed back and forth. Okay, so yes, vaccinated people can pass it to animals. Animals who are vaccinated can pass it to people. In fact, the original model for self-spreading vaccines was done in animals, bats, as a matter of fact. So yes, the answer to that is yes. And it's also related to, and I mentioned this earlier in passing, you remember about a year and a half ago, the meat packing plants, the slaughterhouses were all shut down around the world.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I think this is my suspicion. I never had any proof of what I'm about to say, but it's my belief that was all a coordinated effort to inoculate the livestock. To inoculate the livestock, the cattle, the pigs, the chickens, turkeys. So then if the livestock, which is a part of the food chain, is all inoculated with the spike protein, Well, then when people eat that, you see, then they're ingesting the spike protein. Or even when they're around that, you know, breathing the same air as these animals. You see, and then of course, you recall that right after that, there was a massive death and illness taking place among meat packing plant workers. And they went on strike, and there was all kinds of problems. The other thing to keep in mind or take into consideration concerning meat packing plants and inoculated animals is what happened in China, where drones were flown over Chinese farms, inoculating animals, killing them. And so most of the meat packing plants in America are owned by the Chinese. And so if the Chinese would be playing a game of payback, then it wouldn't be surprising that they might want to poison the food supply in America, just like America poisoned their food supply. This might, these things might just be acts of war, of undeclared war. I think they are.
Well, so, thank you, Doctor.
Yes. I believe the spike protein can infect any mammalian species, any warm-blooded animal. Do we have any other calls?
Yes, sir. We have Brother AJ.
Brother AJ, go ahead.
Yes, Ashwamla.
Wa alaikum salam.
I wanted to know if you knew anything about those packages of seeds that people would be sent in the mail from China about a year ago.
Well, just to repeat, because you have an echo in your call, but you're talking about the seeds that people received in the mail that were sent from somewhere in China. And then the warning went out from the government here not to plant them because they thought that might be a part of some biological attack. That's about all I know about it. I know there were some people who did plant them. I don't know what happened, and I haven't heard any more about it. But again, you see, last week on the call, I read a statement from the Deputy Defense Minister of China, Hao Tian, I think that's the name, where he basically pointed out that China has declared total war against the United States. And he emphasized the fact that a large component of this warfare would be biological. And he said, while others have made progress in this area, we too have made progress in this area. So my contention is a lot of what's taking place where COVID-19 is concerned in Europe and America is a counterattack, a biological counterattack from China against the West. And the rates of infection and death among Caucasian people is higher than among other ethnic groups. And that's because the virus that's in Europe and America, once called the Spanish variant, it has a predilection for people with the Neanderthal gene on the third chromosome. You see, so what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with biological warfare on both sides. See, they're saying they found U.S. weapons, bioweapons laboratories in Ukraine. Well, evidently, Russia and China, they got bioweapons laboratories too. And so what we are perhaps caught, we're caught in the crossfire in a war. So no, I haven't heard any recent information about those seeds. Next call, please.
Facebook Live question. So Rashida asked, when will we know which homeopathy remedies are recommended for this spike protein synthetic snake venom?
Well, I'm still waiting to get the follow-ups done. I haven't gotten the follow-up photographs from people. So There were 12 people, I think, who sent the initial photographs in, and I haven't gotten the follow-ups yet. So once I can scan the follow-ups, then I can make a report.
Yes, sir. I'll resubmit the ones that I did send you just to make sure you received them.
Okay, because I haven't received any.
Okay. I'll put them all together and then resend them to you.
Okay.
Someone asked a question. Is it true that American ammunition and American dollars are printed in China? Are there any articles on this topic on your Telegram?
Yes, I put up an article showing that the ammunition used by the U.S. military is made in China, or some of the ingredients in some of the ammunition is made in China. I think U.S. military uniforms are made in China. I think the U.S. flag is made in China. And not only is the U.S. dollar printed in China, I believe there are many, many countries, like 50 or 60 countries around the world whose currency is printed in China. See, so Shanghai is actually becoming the financial center of the world. And you'll soon see that. London and New York, they have been the financial centers of the world, along with Germany, but that's rapidly changing. And so you're seeing the financial power shift to the east, into Russia, China, and India, and other countries. So yeah, you can find that on my Telegram, that article about the ammunition made in China.
Yes, sir. Someone said they noticed many people in society with sagging faces. Is this from the taking the vaccine?
Sagging faces? That what you said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's same as Justin Bieber. He had to cancel his tour because of facial paralysis. Now, sometimes that's called Bell's palsy, but he has a more severe form of it. And basically, it's due to the vaccination that I'm sure he got. All the entertainers, all of the celebrities, I'm sure most of the professional athletes, in order to maintain their job or their position, they had to submit to it. You see? And so now, 18 months later, when they're trying to get back on the road, get back on the playing field, you see, now they're experiencing trouble. He's having, to get that facial paralysis means that his seventh cranial nerve, his fifth cranial nerve are involved, probably damaged either by a virus itself or by the spike protein, or more likely both. And probably the damage that's been done that causes that facial paralysis is irreversible. If it were due only to a virus, it would be reversible with our friend Paxlovid. Paxlovid cures Bell's palsy, but Paxlovid alone would not cure the effects of the poison spike protein that's causing the nerve damage. Remember that I showed you the amyloid fibers. For some reason, they're attracted to nervous tissue. That tends to go to the brain. So yeah, there's a lot of people who have brain issues, and some of them are showing facial weakness, brain paralysis, but they're also having less visible signs and symptoms as well of a nervous system that is being attacked by these poisonous substances that their own bodies are producing if they got the shot.
Yes, sir. We have Sister Amina.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Aleen.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead.
I just had a question about the spike protein. Is the symptom similar to COVID-19?
They're exactly the same. The symptoms of COVID-19 are caused by the spike protein. all of the, according to the Salk Institute, all of the pathophysiology, the signs and symptoms caused by COVID-19 were actually caused by the spike protein that was carried on the back of the virus. You don't actually need the virus. That was just a carrier system. You can inject the spike protein directly, and it causes the same symptoms as what they're calling COVID-19, which, as you know, is a phony diagnosis because there is no valid test. So that's why they can vaccinate somebody, inject them with the spike protein. Then they develop these symptoms. And what do they call it? They say it's breakthrough COVID. It's long COVID. No, it's not. It's the effects of the spike protein. So the whatever symptoms people had that were called COVID symptoms, they were actually symptoms of the spike protein.
Yes, sir. We have a Facebook testimony. Sister Dorothy said that what you were saying was so true about the food. She said she started growing on her land. Her husband and her brothers have a big greenhouse, and she's growing some herbs and things inside of their home. And there, and we must do for ourselves and not depend on the sources we've been used to.
Yes, yes. And it's that is so encouraging to know that there's somebody out there taking this thing seriously. Because most people don't. They don't, they hear, you know, they sometimes I feel a little frustrated, and I shouldn't really, but I do, because people take in information. I mean, I call them SpongeBobs, you know, where they just soak in information week after week after week after week. They know everything forwards and backwards about everything, but yet they don't change anything in their life. They don't change what they do. They just soak in the information, probably repeat it to other people, and don't do anything to change their life in response to what they know. So that's why we say, you know, the people say, knowledge is power. Well, yeah, it's power. It's the ability to do work. But just because you have the ability to do work doesn't mean that you do the work. The knowledge gives you the ability to do that. You see, so everybody that's listening to this call, they know what Sister Dorothy and her husband and brothers know that we should do for self. Who doesn't know that? Who doesn't know that we should take our mouth out of the white man's kitchen? Who doesn't know that? Who doesn't know that we should do for self? Who doesn't know that? Everybody knows it. But who does it? See, that's where we are now. It's almost a waste of breath to keep repeating what everybody already knows. When will everybody start doing what everybody knows? Well, never. Everybody's never going to do everything that they should do. But who are the few that are going to do it? Well, then the few who are going to do it, those are the ones that are giving themselves the best chance to survive. But the other people, they just going along for the ride. And some of them are blind, deaf, and dumb, and ignorant, and don't know anything about anything. And then there's some full of knowledge, but they're in the same situation as the one that doesn't know anything because they're not willing to do anything to change their way or style of life. They're not willing to do what's necessary for survival. And, of course, one of the very necessary things that every people that ever live have to take care of for themselves is to secure a food supply for themselves and not depend on other people for their food. And any people who violate that law, violate that rule, they soon perish. They soon perish. And so here we are. We're looking at that. We're looking at famine in the face. And so we have a little short
time to actually do something instead of just talking about doing something sometime in the future, because you don't have a future unless you do it right now. So let's take a few more. I think my phone's getting ready to die anyhow.
Yes, sir. Is this the Aura Burke?
Oh, hi. Good evening, Dr. Aleem.
Good evening.
I'm wondering, for the whole childhood vaccinations that a lot of us were given years ago, what can you do to maybe counteract some of the things that were put in with those previous vaccines? Are there detoxes that you recommend, like, for some of what came out of those vaccines?
Well, I mean, again, that's a very, very big topic. That's a very good question that you're asking. And let me just make a few general statements and then maybe a few specific ones. Number one, the only good vaccine is the one not taken. That's the number one thing to understand. The only good vaccine is the one not taken. The second thing to understand is every vaccine causes an injury every time in every person. So then that means there's the cumulative effect. So a person that got five vaccines in their lifetime is different than a person that got 50. See, we were talking about millennials. Okay, they are the most vaccinated generation in the world. No people in the history of the whole world has ever gotten as many vaccinations as the millennial generation. So now that makes them a setup for what's taking place right now. Some of the things that were in those vaccines. We talked about the SV40 vaccine, pardon me, the SV40 virus that was in the polio vaccine starting in the 50s and the 60s, and even up to the present day. The SV40 virus is still in the polio vaccine, and it causes cancer. It has been known to cause cancer for 50 years. Now, most of the other ingredients that are in some of the vaccines, say the aluminum, the mercury, other toxic metals, some of the toxic chemicals that are used as adjuvants in vaccines. Fortunately, in many cases, the person's body is able to clear a lot of those toxins out of the body almost at once. So that's why, you know, in the vaccine campaign, everybody doesn't necessarily suffer a toxic side effect right away, or as severely as some other people. For example, the children who develop autism as a result of vaccinations, and that's a clear cut. That's a clear cut connection there. They try to make it seem like it's controversial, but it's not. That's just see, the children with autism are just the children that have visible brain damage. All the other children that got the same vaccine, they have invisible brain damage. And you have to measure that indirectly with just simple things like IQ tests. So you can see that, say, back in the 50s, before vaccination became very common, the average American IQ was 110. Now, these generations later, with all these vaccinations, the average American IQ has dropped 20 points. It's hovering somewhere around 90. And of course, the more vaccinations that children get, the dumber they get. And so some of these children that are, you know, learning disabled in special ed classes, autistic and whatnot, what is their IQ? Their IQ is 70, 60, 50, the moronic levels. You see, and this has become common. Where people accept these brain-damaged children as though somehow this is the way it's supposed to be. No, someone is attacking your children. Someone is killing your children. Someone is killing their potential with these vaccination shots. Now, this is not accidental. Go read Bertrand Russell's book. He wrote a book in 1953 called The Impact of Science on Society. And he said that what we're going to do, the elite, he's speaking for the elite, said, what we're going to do is we're going to create a permanent subhuman class of people to serve us. And we will do this through a combination of food, vaccines, and injunctions, meaning laws. And we will reduce them down to the level he described them as like sheep. And they would be no more able to protest the vaccinations that we give them than sheep are able to protest the eating of mutton or lamb chops. See, so that's where we are. He wrote the book in 1953. He laid out the blueprint. And now it's been followed to the T. And so now you and I are confronted with that, and we have to decide, what are we going to do about it? So now people who continue to have toxic problems from vaccines, that can be handled. That can be handled. But the introduction of the spike protein takes it to a whole nother level. So I would say in my practice, I've helped hundreds of people detox from vaccines. But that's not the same as what they're calling a vaccine now. This mRNA technology is not a vaccine, and it's not a simple matter of detoxing like you would with MMR and all the other vaccines. So, yes, you can detox from vaccinations. Foods like this is AdLife green super powder. This is made with chlorella spirulina. The chlorella is a chelator, and so it actually binds toxins and allows it to get out of the body. And of course, the toxins have also done tissue damage. So that tissue damage needs repair. And of course, that's done with super nutrition. So foods like this, and this is available at adlife.me. This will help people to detoxify in a very gentle, easy way. Now, for more severe cases, there are very, very powerful detox programs, but I won't go into that tonight. So let's take one more or two, and then I think that will be it.
Yes, sir. Someone asked a question. Will alpha, I don't know what this is, L-I-P-O-I-C acid with Paxmune affect the protein?
Well, was the alpha lipoic?
Uh-huh.
Alpha lipoic acid?
Yes. With Paxmune affect the protein? I'm not sure if that's spike protein or not.
Well, alpha lipoic acid, I mean, that's just a nutrient. That's like a vitamin. It works synergistically with other vitamins like vitamin C. So no, that's just a part of nutrition. It wouldn't harm, if that's what the question is, would it interfere with the Paxmune? No, it would probably help the Paxmune. They would work well together, I'm sure. So let's take one more. That was quick.
Yes, sir. Brother Vernon.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
You have answered this question when you were speaking earlier of the prion, causing the blood clots. I was reading something recently. They talked about, they call it biostructure clots that they are finding.
Biostructure clot. Okay, I like that.
That I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but I was reading that they're finding this in deceased people doing autopsies. Is this the same as the
protein? They're just making up some slang terms, really. The proper term is what I showed you. Those are amyloid fibrils.
Okay.
And they're misnaming them blood clots. And what was that? What do they call it? Structures?
Biostructure clots.
Yeah, biostructure clots. I mean, they're just making up these terms to confuse people. But I showed you what it is. As you mentioned, you know, when a person passes away and goes to the undertaker, he has to drain the blood from the body. And what they're finding is that in some of these patients, it's impossible to drain the blood because the whole bloodstream is full of this amyloid fibrous material. And when they grab a hold of it and pull it out, it's like these, they call it fibrous clots. But really what it is, it's this amyloid, which is a kind of a tangled protein. And it causes all kinds of problems in the body. So this snake venom-like peptide that is the spike protein is causing these kinds of problems throughout the body. But I never heard that term before. They're coming up with new ones every day. So let's close on a happy note here. This is kind of a funny headline I came across today. Black Lives Matter is waging biological warfare somewhere up in New York. The headline is disorder in the court. Hundreds of cockroaches released at a New York hearing. And the courthouse was shut down for the day while crews worked to fumigate the Albany, New York building. So somebody associated with Black Lives Matter was in court. And then some other Black Lives activists came in there with some canisters filled with cockroaches, thousands of cockroaches, and they released them into the courthouse and shut down the proceedings. So that's biological warfare. That'll shut you down. So I think that's all for this evening, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in. We'll see you here next week, inshallah, at the same time. Please invite someone, share, show that you care. This is the Your Immunity Project, powered by Kalfani Radio. See you tomorrow night on the 19th Element, 9 p.m. on Kalfani Radio. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. All praises are due to Allah. Those cockroaches on there, they'll set everything down. Yes, sir. Well, you heard it. There's a truth hour, so all praises are due to Allah. That's our big brother, scientist, Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad, sharing the raw truth with us today. So it's very good, very informative. You know, we have a lot to look at and study. I did put the Telegram link in the chat, so anyone can go on and join that, and you'll be able to get more information during the week. So when we get on the call, then, of course, we'll be more informed and we'll be ready. And we've already investigated a lot of things that he's already put out. So thank you so much. I've already said the announcements earlier, so we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. Okay. So all praises are due to Allah. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and close out in prayer. Attention prayer. Seek thy refuge against the curse of Satan. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful, all praises are due to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, the beneficent, the most merciful. So master of this day of judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we serve and thine aid do we seek. O Allah, guide us on the straight path, the path of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy favors, not the path of those upon whom thy wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray after hearing thy teaching. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful, surely by the time man is in loss, except those who believe and do good, and exhort one another to truth, and exhort one another to patience. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger and servant. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Thank you, everyone, for being with us this evening.